Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege to study Word of God in this morning. Just we have come back to Jude this morning. We are almost to end of the Jude, right? Verse 22-23. The epistle of Jude is a small epistle that teaches us about our security in Christ. We have security in Christ all the day of our lives. We don't lose our salvation, our security, never. Believers have full security in Christ even in times of apostasy, even in times of false teachers. Jude teaches us about characteristics of false teachers. Just we have seen verse 4 to 19. I am not going to teach again. Verse 4 to 9, 19. It almost 8 sermon. He focused on the characteristics of false teachers in details. Then he said, if you see verse 24 of Jude, again he talked about our security. Christ keeps us in him. Eternally, he protects us. In middle, just he is telling us, Christ keeps us. Ultimately, at the same time, he is explaining the characteristics of false teachers. But in middle, the portion is application. The responsibilities of the church. God blessed us with baby girl, Rhea. After she was born, doctor gave her 3 vaccinations within 24 hours. We took her to the doctor after 1.5 months later. She had 3 vaccinations. OPV, Panta, Rota. If you have children, you know these names. We have to give vaccination to our babies, right? After 1 month, she had 2 more. When she was 3.5 months old, she had 4 doses of vaccination. She had 5 doses in 9th month. Recently, she had another vaccination in April. We did not stop taking her to doctor. We did not stop her taking vaccination. There is a reason to protect her. We are giving booster, anti-dose, to protect her from dangerous diseases. Every parent has this responsibility. In the same way, every believer has duties or responsibilities in the church because of false teachers are like dangerous diseases. To escape from these people, we must have responsibility. We must protect ourselves. We must protect others in the church. How parent has responsibility to protect the child from permanent diseases. In that way, we must, all of us, have responsibilities, duties to do something to protect ourselves from the false teachers. Jude is explaining that. Jude is giving responsibility, verse 22-23. There are 2 types of believers in the church. First type of believers, they will be like this, brothers and sisters. I kept in Christ. I am safe. He will save me. I am attending a biblical church. I have a pastor who teaches us sound doctrine. I have nothing to do. Just casuality. Coming to church, going to home. Just having relaxation because you have good doctrine, good preachers. Second type of believers, they thank Christ for he kept them in Christ. At the same time, they are worried about their responsibility in times of apostasy. They will worry, what should I do in these situations? What is my responsibility in that situation? They won't sleep. if any something false teachers are attacking the church, any bad things happening in the church, they won't sleep, just they will worried about those things. To escape from these people, to escape from bad situations. But we have two types of believers, but Jude is answering to these people. Those who are being casual, he will help you to have responsibility, to do something for him, for Christ. Those who are worried about what should I do to escape from these false teachers, then he is giving answer how we must act. Just open your Bible, Jude chapter 1, only one chapter, Jude, verse 22-23. I know many of you waiting for verse 24-25, doxology. But before we go to that passage, we must know the things. Jude reminding us, verse 22-23. But you, beloved, building yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. See, it is very clear that verse 20-23, we have responsibilities, duties of believers. Here Jude exhorting the church, you must have to do something for the church, for yourself. That is, he said, right, building yourself upon your most holy faith. Then he said, praying, keep yourself in the love of God. Then have mercy on some who are doubting. If you read these verses, these are the duties of the church. Jude is calling the church beloved. See, he is loving the church. He is thinking that the church is his family. He has concern on the church. That's why he is giving duties, responsibilities to protect the church. Two duties of the church: to persevere in times of apostasy. Two duties of the church: to persevere in times of apostasy. The first duty of the church in times of apostasy is building spiritual lives in the triune God. Building spiritual lives in the triune God. See, brothers, verse 20 and 21, 22 and 23. If you see this verse, especially verse 20 and 21, Jude mentioned the names of three persons in the Trinity. Verse 20, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, God the Father. Verse 21, God the Son. He says that we have to pray, keep in the love, waiting for the Lord, building upon the sound doctrine, the spiritual life. If you see these things, we must build our spiritual lives in the triune God. Without God, we cannot live spiritually. We must depend upon God, brothers and sisters. Four ways that we build our spiritual lives. First way that we build our spiritual lives is by growing in the sound doctrine. By growing in the sound doctrine. Look at verse 20. It says, building yourself upon your holy faith. Building yourself means Christians should help and encourage one another so that they may grow spiritually in their faith. Not that each Christian should build up his or own Christian life. It is talking about building others, building yourself, building others. Each one in the church encourages, build one another to grow in the most holy faith. In Greek idea is here, resting on your most holy faith. You must rest on your most holy faith as foundation as foundation. What is the faith means in this context? Faith means that which is believed. Faith means teaching. Faith means orthodox sound doctrine. Orthodox doctrine. It is talking about teaching. It is not talking about faith in Christ in this context. So here Jude is encouraging, building yourself upon your sound doctrine. We must build ourselves upon the word of God. Because why I can say Romans chapter 3 verse 31. Paul can call the message itself faith. He called his teaching, his message as faith. Based on those words, we can say the faith is the sound doctrine. Can you see holy? The holy faith. Holy refers to the content of sound doctrine, which is about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit. It is talking about divine matters. So it is holy. The word of God is holy. Sound doctrine is holy because it is talking about God, divine matters. And we need to think about the source of word of God. The source of word of God is from God. God is holy. He created. He inspired the scripture. So word of God, sound doctrine is holy. Why must we build ourselves upon most holy faith? Why must we focus on word of God? There is a reason, brothers and sisters. Because Jude is writing to Christians who are facing heresy, false teaching. There are many false teachings. If you think about false teachings, just we have studied before, right? There are many false teachings in the church. So he is preaching them. He is exhorting them. You build yourself upon the sound doctrine. Doctrines that being misused by false teachers to confuse the church. Doctrines are misused by false teachers. If you don't know the sound doctrine, then you will follow these people. For example, the false teachers misused the doctrine of salvation. They do prosperity gospel, promoting legalism and self-righteousness. Then they misuse the doctrine of sin, hamartiology, living in sin, misusing grace to live sinful life. Verse 4, verse 15 and 16, we can see they are misusing the doctrine of spirit, pneumatology, using his name for all their magic healing ministries. Did you observe? They are misusing the doctrine of the spirit. They are misusing the doctrine of God. You see, they are complaining against God. They are murmuring against God's truth. Verse 16 of Jude. They are misusing the doctrine of Christ. Christology. They don't know Christology. They don't know about Christ. Denying him. They are denying him. Verse 4. The doctrine of scripture. Bibliology. They are dreamers. They are dreaming. They are not relying upon word of God. You see verse 8. You can see that. They misuse the doctrine of angels and demons. They say, I will bind the demon. Even Satan is attending in the meeting in heaven, right? God binded some demons, those who sinned with sons of man. That is in Genesis chapter 6. But there are some demons, they are wandering. Jesus did not bind them, but these people used to say, I bind these demons. Please come to me, I will heal from you demon possession. They are misusing the doctrine of angelology. They misuse doctrine of the church. They are dividing the church. Do you remember? Verse 16. They did not understand what is church. So they divide the church. Then they misuse doctrine of man, anthropology. They are destroyers of marriage. Verse 7, right? Having homosexual relationship. They are not behaving themselves. They are attacking the doctrine of man. Then doctrine of ends. doctrine of future, mocking of second coming of Christ. You see verse 18, mocking. These people are attacking the sound doctrine. Brothers and sisters, if you are not reading doctrine of Christ or doctrines in the Bible, then you will be cheated by them. You will be the one who is going to be victim of them. One day they will take you up from this church. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, please study the word. We have cars, right? We have things, what we have, right? We have nice buildings, right? Do you have any systematic theology with you? Do you have any doctrine book with you? How will you survive in these days? The dangerous false teachers attacking the Bible, attacking the church. If you don't know the word of God, if you are not studying doctrine, how will you survive? That's why Jude is encouraging. Know your doctrine. Know it. Know the truth. I encourage you, brothers and sisters. You have everything. That is good. Praise God. But buy a good doctrine book. Systematic theology. Ask me after this sermon or ask Pastor Sammy. Ask godly men who knows these things. Then they will tell you which book you buy. You must build yourself in the doctrine of God. Otherwise, we are going to be deceived by these false teachers. Brothers and sisters, without word of God, we cannot pray even. We cannot love God. We cannot wait for the Lord. Second way that we build our spiritual lives, that is by praying in the will of the Spirit. Praying in the will of the Spirit. Look at verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying is a sign of trust in God for help. We are needy, right? Because of these false teachers, because of these confusions, we must pray more. We must pray more. We are suffering through these false teachings. That's why James chapter 5 verse 13, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. If you are suffering because of false teaching, you pray. You must pray. But we need to understand the meaning of praying in the will of Spirit. The idea in Greek is believers pray according to the Holy Spirit, or pray in conformity with the Holy Spirit. That means praying in the will of the Holy Spirit rather than according to your own agenda and your will. We must pray in the will of God. Why must we pray in the will of God? Because Holy Spirit, He Himself praying for us, intercedes us. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Verse 27. And He who searches the hearts know that the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Holy Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. That means He will help us to pray in the will of God. Bad example. People used to pray like this. Lord, I am reformed, but I am attending one charismatic church. There are many bad things going in that church, but I am attending that church. Please protect me. This is bad example. It is not praying in the will of God. It is not praying in the Holy Spirit. What is the best example? It will be like this. Lord, protect our church from false teachers who are growing up in Goa. Lord, I know one brother is following after one false teacher. He is following him on YouTube. Please save him from that false teacher. These are the will of God. These are the praying in the will of God. Not doing willingly, Lord, protect me. I have a meeting with Benian or somebody else, but please protect me. I have a relationship with him. These are not will of God, brothers and sisters. We must pray. We must submit to him in prayer. We must ask wisdom. Lord, I should pray according to your will, not by my will. One false teacher in Goa, Dominic, you know, I think most of you know that. He was arrested and came out of bail for doing magics and selling prayer oil and using drugs. Even CM responded to this. Implementing an anti-conversion bill in Goa may come soon. Why? Because of these false teachers. Brothers and sisters, if you know the word well, you know how to pray in the will of God. Brothers and sisters, we must pray for these things. It is mandatory. It is God's will. Lord, protect us. Protect our church from these false teachers. This is the will of God. Lord, we don't know how to react to these people, but you help me. You help us through your word. That is our duty. That is our responsibility, brothers and sisters. Third way that we build our spiritual lives is by loving the God of love. By loving the God of love. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Greek idea is to remain in the sphere of God's love. The phrase the love of God is in Greek. It expresses God's initiative action of loving us and now our response to love him. That is the idea. God loved us first, then we should love him. That is the meaning of keep ourselves in love of God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 says, the love of God was manifested in us. Verse 10, in this love, not we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Verse 16 it says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. God is love, brothers and sisters. God loved us. In that response, we should love him. We should love him. We know that God loves so much, brothers. He has sent his one and only son to save us. We can't give anything to him, but just loving him. What is the meaning of loving God? That is simple. Bible says, obeying God is keeping in the love of God. Obedience to God is loving God. John 15, John Gospel chapter 15 verse 9 to 10 says, Father has loved me. I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here Jude is commanding us to keep in the love of God, or commanding us to obey his commandments. The idea is the church must love God urgently. It is not optional. It is command. Keep. That means we must do that. Believers should obey the commandments of God. When you are obeying God, then you are loving God. We cannot say, I love you, I love you. There are secular songs, right? I love you, they sing. Even we sing, I love you, God. But we are not keeping his commandments. We know God is love. Whenever you hear the word of God, whenever you know the love of God, you say, hallelujah, amen. But you are not obeying him. You are not following him. That is not love. That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy, brothers and sisters. There are many hypocrites in the church. That's why Jude is exhorting. First you love God. First you obey God. Then you can survive from these people. If you are not obeying, so there is no difference between you and false teachers. Because they are not obeying God. They are rejecting God. But we should not reject God. We must obey. We must love Him. Fourth way that we build our spiritual lives, that is by waiting for the merciful Savior. By waiting for the merciful Savior. Verse 21. It says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We Christians must waiting anxiously. It says, right? Anxiously we must wait. Eagerly waiting. Waiting means to wait with great expectation. To welcome. It says welcoming. Believers, we must say, we must welcome. Come, come. We are expecting for you. We are waiting for you. Lord, please come, come. That is the idea here. If you go, mummy, daddy, go out, right, to shop, to do shopping. Then they are buying something. Children knows, mummy, daddy will bring something. How they will wait? They won't study. They won't eat. Just sitting and waiting. What our mummy, daddy will bring? Mummy, daddy tells, do something. They won't do that one also. Just waiting for mummy, daddy. Because mummy, daddy is precious. They are giving something else. Something good for us. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we are all children. We are all as loving people. We must wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. We must wait for Lord Jesus Christ. That is the idea. Jude is helping us that we should not worry about wickedness of false teachers. We must have hope and expectation, because when we focus on great things, then we have no time to discuss rubbish things and false teachings, right? If we have great things to do, if you are waiting for the Christ, you have no time to attend false teaching section, right? You have no time to see a false teacher in YouTube. Because your focus is to meet Christ. You are waiting, welcoming Christ. Why? There are some reasons. When Jesus comes, what will happen? He will remove all false teachings. Amen? That is possible when Jesus comes. When you are waiting for Christ, you will live holy life. We were told, right, last Sunday, we are going to sit and stand before Bema seat. Christ is going to give reward according to our deeds, our ministries, right? If you know Jesus is coming, if you are welcoming Him, you will live holy life. Then we know, brothers and sisters, if we wait for the Lord, we will focus on our holy life. Christ will remove all false teachings, right, when He comes. Then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, He says. On that great future day, all of us who have trusted in Him will experience Christ's final mercy, enjoy the fullness of eternal life. We have eternal life, that is spiritual, right? We don't have full sense of eternal life. But when He comes, we will experience full mercy. We will experience eternal life physically, eternally. So we need to focus on eternal things. We need to focus on godly things for Christ. Then we can overcome these false teachers. This is the redeeming to perceive in days of apostates. One shepherd, he was a small boy. He wants to attend a youth meeting. Then what happened? That the youth, they said, no, no, you should not come. You are a shepherd. You go out. This is only for educated, nice people, they said. Then he went. Then preacher started preaching. This shepherd, this boy, sitting long, then listening word of God. Then he convinced, he came to know about Christ. He trusted Christ. He became believer. Then he became a pastor. Then he said, he wrote one song about Christ that is in Telugu, but I'm translating for you. He says like this: if I see my beloved King, that's enough for me. If I stay with him in glory, that's enough for me. Oh, when will I hear the sound of trumpet? Oh, when will my desire fulfill? When will my Lord wipes my tears? My heart is waiting for him. My heart is waiting for him. Shepherd, he understood who Christ is. He understood what Christ is going to give for him. Brothers and sisters, these things will help us to wait for him. We must wait for him. Then we won't care about all false teachings. We won't play with sins because he is coming. That's the duty, first duty we have seen. Four ways we must build ourselves in the triune God. The second duty of the church to persevere in times of apostasy is showing mercy to victims of apostates. Showing mercy to victims of apostates. Verse 22 and 23. See, verse 22 says, have mercy on some who are doubting. Then he says, snatching them out of fire. On some have mercy with fear. Brothers and sisters, we must have the mercy towards others, victims of false teachers. Having mercy means have pity, have compassion, be kind, having a loving heart towards others. Be merciful to others, especially to the victims of apostates. Two things that we must have in process of showing mercy. First thing that we must have in process of showing mercy is evangelical goal. We must have evangelical goal. Two evangelical goals that we must have. First evangelical goal that we must have is to clarify the truth to doubters. To clarify the truth to doubters. See verse 22. Have mercy on some to whom? Who are doubting. Who are doubting. This mercy is directed towards fellow Christians who doubt. These are the Christians who began to have doubts about the truth of the Christian faith, Christian doctrines, because of the influence of false teachers. These are the uncertain about facts in the Bible. These people are not stable in the fact because these people were influenced by false teachers. They have doubt, but they are believers. They are in the midst of us. For those people, we must show the mercy. Showing mercy means teaching the truth to those who are doubting the truth. They may not understand the truth immediately, but we must show mercy. We must have that patience. We must be diligent to present the gospel, the truth, accurately, so that these false teachers may not take them permanently. We must show mercy in our teaching to others. Because there are some weak brothers and sisters in the church. Because they hear something else, then they believe that is true. Because they are not reading Word of God carefully. But we must be merciful to them, explaining them the truth, clarifying them the truth very clearly with gentleness. That is the mercy. Jude said, right? Have mercy. You know that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6. This is the best example. False teachers will take away some weak members in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6. For among them are those who enter into household, captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. See, these false teachers look at weak people only. Those who are not strong in sound doctrine, they will catch those people, they will tell all heresies, all bad things. For those people, we must show mercy. I have a friend who believes in dreams. Even now, he is a believer. He listens many truths. If I say when we are discussing, he accepts. But when we come to this point, no, dreams are there. God will speak through dreams. He will explain from the Bible. He will prove his point by using the Bible. He says that, you know, Joseph, Vijay, Joseph had dream. Old Joseph and new Joseph. Husband of Mary had dreams, that Joseph also had dreams. You don't know Joseph? They had dreams. We can have dreams. We cannot stop God's revelation. God can speak anyway. He used to say that. But I used to speak with him hours and hours in different days. Because I love him. He is my friend. I can speak little strongly also because he is my classmate. Because we must have patience. We must show mercy. We should not give up, right? There are helpful tips when we are dealing with these people. How we show mercy. How we have to deal with these people. First tip, have patience and humility. When you are dealing with weak brother in the church, you must have patience and humility. Second tip, don't get angry if they reject you. Don't expect if you say truth, suddenly they will accept and they will agree. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. I am obeying you. I am believing your truth. They won't say. They won't react immediately. They will get angry. But you don't get angry. Show mercy towards them. Third tip, appreciate godly things which you have seen in them. Brothers, I have seen you. There are good things in you. But this one is very not good. It is not biblical. You have to show your mercy with humility. The fourth one, pray for them. Some of us, we only tells. We won't pray for those people. We won't depend upon the Holy Spirit. God has to change them. We cannot change. I cannot change. No one change any man. God supposed to change. We must pray for them before we are dealing with weak brother who is influenced by false teachers and bad teachings. Then finally, don't give up. Don't give up. I want to encourage you, brothers. Bring all your old friends, Roman Catholic friends, who has differences between you and them. Bring those, your friends. Start again showing mercy on them. Because I am not telling. It is biblical. Jude is saying, Holy Spirit is teaching us, show mercy on some who are doubting. Are I told that person who is a Roman Catholic, or my friend, he is not listening, I won't speak with him. No, we should not say that. You must have patience. We must pray for them. You must speak with that person because that is our responsibility. If you leave your responsibility, if you won't show mercy on them, then he will listen more bad teachings. He will go away from the church. That is the first evangelical goal. Clarifying the truth. Second evangelical goal that we must have is to save them from God's judgment. To save them from God's judgment. Save means in Greek to rescue, to keep from. It speaks snatching them out of the fire. See, can you see? Snatching them out of the fire. The word snatch can also mean take by force. Take by force. Let me tell you this example. See, you are on the road. One brother, your sister, your family member, he is walking middle of the road. Then you have seen car is coming very speedily. Then you have seen that it is going to hit there is going to damage is going to happen immediately. Then you see and you go slowly. Then you go slowly and touch him, touch her, see a brother, see sister, car is coming. Then why you are standing here? You supposed to see there and here. See, car is coming. You say, right? You say like that, right? Car is going to hit your family member, your child, your son, your daughter. You go and tell the lecture, you will give the lecture. No, you take by force. You won't speak anything. You go directly, take that person, you pull them out. So that there is danger. That is the idea of snatching. Taking by force. Taking by force. Brothers and sisters, the false teachers are in dangerous situation. At the same time, unbelievers, sinners are going to die. They are going to hell. If you see those people, you have that responsibility, urgency. Immediately you should react. That means sharing the gospel, sharing the truth to those people. But we have to understand, we cannot save anybody. We cannot save anybody. We cannot save ourselves. But it is idea that God is using you as instrument to save these people. Your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, they are going to be punished by God, but you must take them out. You must share the gospel. It is like some people say, some people misunderstand. They say, I saved many people. I saved 5 people. I saved 1,000 people. People used to say that, but that is not idea. Saving means under God. It's like Paul said about Timothy, my child. Peter said about John Mark, my son. It does not mean Paul saved, Peter saved them, but God used them as instrument to save them. Right? That is the idea. Sharing gospel, God will use the word of God, then save others. Brothers and sisters, you must memorize some scripture portions which are about gospel. You don't know when the opportunity will come. Maybe in the on the bus, in the on the train, in the car, we don't know. By walking, you must know the scripture portion, gospel scripture portion, so that you can share gospel too with them. Second thing that we must have in process of showing mercy is personal precaution. Personal precaution. Look at verse 23 says, and some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Two personal precautions that we must have while we are showing mercy. First personal precaution, that is, hate sin, not sinner. Hate sin, not sinner. Because it says, right, verse 23, and some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. You must show the compassion and kindness to those who are sinners. But you must hate the sin. Verse 23, part BC, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. It says the meaning of this garment means is a piece of clothing that is worn next to the skin. This is a sometimes known as the inner garment. This inner garment is described as polluted by the flesh. We see verse 8 of Jude. You can read that. Yet in the same way these men also by dreaming defile the flesh. He used same word. That means he is talking about sinful nature of sinners. Sinful acts of sinners. Especially if you mention, right, it's like inner garment. It is talking about immoral sins, sexual sins. So you must hate their sins, but not sinner. What we say? We are also sinners, right? God saved us from our sins. Someone you see sinner, but you hate that person's sin, that sister's sin, but you should not hate that person. Have mercy. Show mercy on that person, but hate that sin. When you are trying to share gospel, you must hate the sins of sinners. If they tell you about their sins, you must not avoid them. You must still keep mercy on them, but don't follow their sin. The second precaution that we must have a fear of temptation. Have a fear of temptation. Verse 23. It says, right, on some have mercy with fear. Here Jude is saying that you must have fear if you have mercy on some. It is fear of being polluted by sins of these people. Christians should have mercy and compassion on these people, but they should be aware of danger of their sins. Christians should guard themselves against being influenced by others. Let me tell you like this. You have mercy on sinners, but you must be careful. Whatever their sins are, you must not imitate. It's like cutting chicken through a modern cutting machine. Have you seen the modern chicken cutting machine? How that person will see? He will cut casually, right? Hello, how many cages you want? You want medium or small? Will he ask? Medium or small? Will he ask? No. He stop doing that. He will turn medium or small. If he say small, then he will turn carefully, he will cut. If he is not careful, cutting chicken, his hand will be cut. His job will go because his owner won't take him again. Because you don't have hands. Hands must be there if you want to do this job. Right? He knows those things. If I am not careful while I am cutting chicken, then there is a danger for me. He will be very careful. He will be very careful. In the same way, brothers and sisters, you are dealing with sinners. You are showing mercy on them. But you must be careful so that you may not be influenced by their sins. You should not imitate their sins. You should not follow their teachings, but show your mercy on them. Brothers and sisters, don't think that you are a strong man. I believe there is no strong man who can be without sin after having deep relationship with sinners. If you have friendship with sinners, one day you will become like him. Be careful. Don't misuse the word of God. I need to share gospel. I need to meet that person. Meet that person, but you must be careful. You must be careful. Jude is very practical man. He is not stopping gospel. At the same time, share gospel with precautions. With precautions. Because there is problem, right? Some people hate sinner, hate sins. Some people don't hate sinners. So because of that, he is telling that hate sins, don't hate sinner. Be careful, don't imitate their sins. When we are doing that. Brothers and sisters, just I am going to conclude. We have responsibility. Jude is giving application here. Just I told you, Jesus keeps you eternally. Then I told you the characteristics of Jude, characteristics of false teachers. Understand their characteristics, but don't say, I have nothing to do. You have responsibility. Build your spiritual life in the triune God. Second thing, show mercy to victims of false teachers, apostates. It is like simple, brothers. Running to God, running for God. Running to God, running for God. God may help us to be, we may be responsible. We may have responsibility in this church. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time, Lord. Lord, you have done many things for us. Lord, help us to have precautions when we are showing mercy to sinners. Lord, give us heart of compassion, mercy to show upon our relatives and friends. Lord, help us to have responsibility of building our spiritual life upon your word, by praying, Lord, by depending upon you. Lord, help each one of us to obey you all the time, to love you. Lord, give us heart to wait for you all the time, for your second coming, to experience eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.